welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are here to talk about minute 12 through 13 of Dune Part 2. This minute is all about healthy workplace environments.
Yep.
Really just effective communications with your coworkers.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're here for a performance review today. Yeah. We'd like to sit down with you and, you know, kind of discuss how things have been going and where we see opportunities.
This really, really showcases Raban's management style.
Here. Rabin?
We are always going to disagree on this. It's fine.
They say Rabin in this minute.
Well, that's fine. In my head, it's Raban. Rabin. Sounds so unsophisticated.
As is Rabin himself.
Okay, that's fair. That's a good point. okay, let's back up a little bit because we got a little bit of stuff to talk about before we get there.
Getting a little ahead of ourselves here with this performance review, but you know.
So this minute opens up with the rest of the smash cut outside to the city of Arrakeen.
Yes.
And we get some sick electric guitar chugga-chuggas.
Chugga-chugga. Chugga. Chugga-chugga.
An electric guitar that is clearly identifiable as an electric guitar is not something you get to see in Dune very often.
Normally it's disguised as bagpipes.
That's true. Yep. So part of me wondered if this was like a very, very subtle callback to 84 Lynch Dune, where just out of nowhere when Paul's riding the worm at the end, spoilers.
Wow. Whoa, you're going to spoil a movie from
41 years ago. Yep. Sorry. Spoilers. If you don't want to know, I guess just skip or rewind or something. I don't care.
Better idea. Just go watch it.
Just go
watch the extended edition, the director's cut. It's 3 hours and actually way better than the original.
Okay. I will
because they actually have the included things that like help tie the story together a lot better.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen the extended version then. I will have to go, go take care of that.
It's got a way better opening.
You don't like the princess giving you 25 minutes of exposition?
By 25, you mean three? And then
whatever.
She
feels like an hour.
Or like one or two, maybe. And then she's immediately dismissed by Shaddam.
Yeah. Just get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Take your pugs and get out of here. I know that doesn't happen right at the beginning of the movie. But yeah. We do see pugs.
No, that is right at the beginning.
Yeah, we do see pugs
right
at the beginning. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But when Paul gets on the worm in that movie, we get like a sick 80s electric guitar solo.
Well, yeah, because the music for that movie was made by Toto.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you know this, but one of the members and one of the founders of Toto is John Williams' son, the composer John Williams, of Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Jaws and a fucking billion other movies fame. Yeah,
insert other movie here.
Yeah, insert any probably movie. Any major movie here. Yep. Harry Potter.
Sure.
Yeah. I know I'm forgetting a million, and I know that like whoever's listening is screaming at us right now, forgetting like some big ass important one.
In this house, we are Hans Zimmer fans.
In this Dune.
In this siege, we are Hans Zimmer fans. But yeah, we don't typically get to hear electric guitars being just electric guitars.
Yep.
And I thought it was a really cool chugga chugga that we got in the background. Anyways, I just thought it was a cool, maybe unintentional, probably intentional little moment that reminded me of Lynch's Dune. But lots of things remind me of Lynch's Dune. We have Harkonnen ornithopters flying all over the place. The camera just kind of pans around. We get to see the first shots of the city since the attack.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed, a few things that I noticed. First of all, a lot of Arrakeen obviously is leveled from the attack, But I also noticed how quickly the Harkonnens have set up their own, like, architecture over the broken parts of the city. And it's definitely, like, you have that weird juxtaposition of the tan, super angular buildings that are designed to help heat move out of those buildings and everything, to the, like, plastic, almost, like, bulbous looking construction of Harkonnen buildings and everything.
I would have to imagine that those were left over from like a week ago when they were in rule.
I don't know.
when they ruled.
Because they did take all of their things.
Yeah, but you're not gonna take a building.
I don't know.
I would.
Or maybe it's just like those Home Depot sheds that are like prefabbed and they just have to like bolt them together or whatever.
They have like pop-up markets.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know
enough about the logistics of Harkonnen infrastructure, like pop-ups. Soul of Dune doesn't dive into... There's no instruction manual for putting it together.
You know, we saw the carry-all inflate last movie.
Yeah.
The little balloon just, you know, blew up in the desert there. So maybe it's something like that.
Maybe.
They would just, you know, pop these up. But we don't get a chance to really linger on it. No. We cut right back to the map room. Raban's coming in with his morning coffee. Rabin is coming in with his morning coffee, and he walks right up to Harky Keitel.
Did you just pull that one out of your ass?
Out of my ass. Harky Keitel.
Harky Keitel.
Harky Keitel.
All right.
Which is a great name for someone who I think we're never going to see again after this minute.
We get about 40 seconds left of him in the movie. So.
We hardly knew you, Harky Keitel.
Yeah.
Like I said, played by Anton Valenci, very short, amount of time on screen, plays it really, really well.
Yeah.
So he's talking to Rabin, as Rabin is drinking his whatever out of the coffee cup. I have to imagine it's some kind of viscous liquid that seems to be.
Oh yeah. It's like when you go in to like a smoothie place and they just give you like the thickest fucking smoothie so that when you go to like drink it out of the straw just collapses vacuum.
You need a boba straw for those kinds of things. Maybe what we didn't get in this moment is right before he walked into the room, he had his rat juice squeezer.
Yeah.
And he squeezed some rat juice into his
into
coffee
the
cup.
Tiny little juice box.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
The little straw, and he's just.
Yeah, so maybe he has his fresh rat juice.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Go watch the Lynch film.
Yep, that will make sense.
Yep.
So Harky Keitel is recommending that they, now that the spice fields are secure, that they bring the troops back from Fremen territory.
Yeah.
Now, before we get too far away from this, I have to mention the way this guy sounds. It is a very interesting accent.
Okay.
And it almost sounds like, Robin Williams' genie doing the impression of Ed Sullivan in Aladdin. Which is a multi-layered reference there.
Yeah, no, I remember it, though.
Now, I'm going
It's a bit more breathy than that, though.
It is.
Because he's very, like, kind of like...
Now, I'm going to... there's going to be a little bit of a time jump, because I want you to look this up and see. So, pause here. We're going to be back in 2 seconds.
Okay, yeah, I hear it.
Now, I'm not making fun of the guy's voice or anything.
No, it's just, but that...
It's a very distinct, like, cadence and accent, and it's very interesting.
That is a good way of describing it, I think.
It's a very, very specific reference. So he continues talking to Rabin, and he's clearly very nervous.
Yeah.
Talking to
this guy. I mean, Rabin is a very, you know, intimidating person to be around.
It wasn't 2 or 3 days ago. He was just chopping heads off in a line.
So. Single swipe.
Single stroke. Yeah, what are the blocks from
thwomps,
right? Yeah. That's a good impression.
Yeah, thank you.
So he continues, he says, "We're losing too many men to the desert," and then he stops. And then Rabin corrects him and he goes, "Rats.
Rats.
We're losing men to rats." All the while the chanting in the background is still happening.
It's still going. Yep,
still going on. What did you take of this next little bit? Because this was really funny to me. I got a laugh out of this.
Where Harky Keitel looks over Rabin's shoulder and the other attendants behind him are like...
Yeah, just mouthing, telling him what to say. I thought that was so funny.
I mean, at least the other guys were looking out for their homeboy.
I guess. Yeah, he mouths Fremen.
You can hear him say Fremen.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, Fremen.
Did he forget what they were called, or
I don't know. Maybe they just never taught him.
Yeah, fair. He continues with his report. He says, "You know, comms are hectic out in the open sands," and he's clearly
we're losing too many men.
Yeah. Rabin gives him kind of a reminder of their objective here.
Of his KPIs?
His KPIs, his key performance indicators.
Sorry for putting anyone that's listening to this at work under more stress.
Yes. How are your OKRs going?
Shut the fuck up. That's how they're going.
Fair enough.
Rabin's really worried about his net promoter score right now.
Yeah, of course he is. You don't want detractors. All he's getting is detractors right now.
He's got to hit his SLAs.
Yes. Oh, God. Anyways, he reminds him that he was to control the whole planet, and he only sees half of it here.
Yeah, and there's not enough time to circle back on this later.
No, there's not. And the guy, this is just too funny to me. I feel sorry for the guy.
Harky Keitel.
I feel sorry for what's about to happen to him, but I'm giggling over here. So he says, "As you may remember, the South is uninhabitable." And then immediately tries to change the subject to, "You should get some rest.
May I suggest you get some rest?"
And Rabin just absolutely just decks this guy, chops him.
He has the most calm reaction to that statement ever.
He just gives a fucking quick throat chop to this guy.
And you hear the guy just get clapped in the throat, and he's like,
And then Ravon grabs him by the back of the head and starts slamming his face into the console.
Oh, God.
And as the minute ends, because we're about to be, you know, this is pretty much the end of the minute here.
Yeah.
Rabin is just shouting, "Rats! Hairy rats! Kill them! Kill them all!
Kill them all!"
It's very intense. I don't know what the Harkonnen HR department would say about this. This is typically not an interaction you want to have with coworkers. I feel like there would need to be
really shitty performance review. This guy is not getting a raise.
No. He might be dead.
Might?
He might be dead.
Zach, Rabin was hitting him so hard that the map was distorting.
Okay. He's probably dead.
But I don't know if you noticed, watching through the map, you can see all the Harkonnen goons that came in with Rabin are all like turned and looking the other way, or there's one guy that's like looking up at the ceiling.
Oh God.
Like they're all not watching what's happening to their coworker.
Jeez Louise.
my notes are, Rabin has an incredibly reasonable and rational response to this statement. And I don't care how long you've been a stuntman. Getting fucking tossed around by Dave Bautista like that still probably hurts like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
I still think Rabin should have Bautista bombed the shit out of him, though.
That would have been a nice little Easter egg. Little cameo there.
Yeah, some knowing old how moves. Shitty the fucking WWE, though. The WWE probably owns the Bautista bomb and trademark to it and everything. So, like. Now, before we go, though, Art and Soul has some information about this room that we're in.
Oh, cool.
Not a lot, but there is some. They call it a Solido console. And its attendants were influenced by the Six Voyages of Lone Sloan, written and drawn by the French comic book artist Philippe Drouillet. Don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry. Drouillet.
What was the name of that book?
The Six Voyages of Lone Sloan. LOANSLOANE.
Okay, this looks really cool. I'm gave it a quick goog here.
And Denis Villeneuve states that he had been, quote, haunted by the image of the technology integrated into a body like this for 45 years, and he loved the complexity of how it transformed humans into insects.
Hmm.
And
this is really good artwork.
This is where my note from yesterday about how it's very loquacious. It's giving loquacious of Borg.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, everyone, look this up. This is like some really, really good comic book artwork. This is awesome. I'll have to look into that.
So that was the inspiration for this whole console room and the attendance and everything. And the book doesn't say what they're chanting about, but they're seemingly chanting out something related to either orders or data that is coming in.
Yeah, it, you know, I'm always looking for patterns and things. And I noticed like it sounded like it was a handful of words that were chanting, and they either
on a loop.
Yeah, on a loop. Like there's a point where you can clearly hear, like, they get to the end and they start over.
Yeah. Again.
Or they get to the end and they start going backwards through what they just said. I couldn't tell like either way, but there's some kind of repeating pattern there.
Yeah.
Man, I wish we had Harkonnen subtitles. I want to hear what they're saying.
I do too. And unfortunately, it's not like a situation where, you know, with Lord of the Rings, Tolkien at least left us with pronunciation guides and with like dictionaries for everything. So people are able to take the non-subtitled parts of those movies and translate them themselves. Specifically, I'm thinking of the scene where both Gandalf and Sauron, you hear both of their voices with the black speech as... As Boromir is beginning to reach for the ring. Like, Gandalf does that whole thing. This is in the extended edition. Mm-hmm. But Gandalf does that whole thing where
he's
like...
You mean the only edition.
True. Where he's like basically speaking in the black speech to scare everyone the fuck away from the power of the ring. But yeah. I wish we had those, but here we are.
I'm sure it's been a little bit since you've went to this.
We got to try and get website. David Peterson on.
I was about to say, do you remember that website? They had a lot of information about at least the languages from the first movie. I don't remember looking through Dune Part 2.
There wasn't a lot about Harkonnen, though.
Okay.
It was at least in Dune Part 1, there was a lot about Chukotka, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot about the Sardaukar language, but the Harkonnen stuff didn't really have a lot to it.
Okay. All right. Well, it would just be one of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, nerds have translated Klingon. You know, that's a thing.
It is a full language. Yeah.
That is a thing you can learn on Duolingo.
I want to learn the black speech on Duolingo.
They may do it. They have a bunch of like languages from you know, different movies and TV shows
Duolingo
and stuff like that.
Duolingo black speech. Even the most developed of the languages, Kenya and Sindarin, are nowhere near complete enough to be able to converse in them. There are many areas of grammar that he never set down, and the vocabularies are very limited. It was never his intention to make them, quote, real languages. They were deeply entwined into the creation of his legendarium, and the history of the elves is tightly bound to the history of their languages and vice versa. Much of Sindarin dialogue in the films is in a sort of neo-Sindarin cobbled together by David Soto for the filmmakers. There are some people who have been working off and on the creation of dialects of neo-Sindarin and neo-Quenya, but these are not Tolkien's languages per se. Next Reddit comment down. Excuse me, Owl, do you speak Jive?
Oh, Reddit. So after the hilarious end of the meeting in the map room.
Of Harky Keitel.
Of Harky Keitel. Rest in peace, Harky Keitel.
We hardly knew you.
That is where our minute ends.
All right.
So anything else from your notes?
Nope. I wish that Art and Soul gave us a little more, but I understand that they have a lot more movie to talk about in the book. So
sure.
We will dive more into Art and Soul next week when we get to those minutes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, we will be back tomorrow. As always, we are on various socials, really just one social.
Yeah.
We're active on Blue Sky. We got our stuff up on YouTube. You can find us at bluesky@duneminute.com, obviously. Yep. And if you'd like to send an email our way, our email address is duneminute@gmail.com. So go do that if you want.
You don't have to.
You don't have to, but we check it sometimes.
I check Blue Sky.
Yeah, John's always on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You mostly just look at the email account.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
But yeah, go do that. It's fun. It's a good place. Blue Sky's nice.
Thanks for listening.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.